This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
So what are you showing us?
So this live board shows every single train in the system, how many of them are running on time. And then I even get a view of every single one of our five lines and the trains that are late and how late they are. And then it also lists all of the BART police activity and if we're doing welfare checks.
What are you seeing here? We're seeing some sick people disturbing the peace. Yeah. Urinating and defecating in the system.
Yeah, it's the reality of what's happening at all 50 stations. And it's, you know, this is life playing out in real time in front of us. Someone has been obviously spotted for fare evasion at El Cerrito del Norte. Someone has urinated in the system at Lafayette. A lot of times people hear like, oh, there's a medical emergency, and they're mad at us. And it's like, that is a human being. They may be having a seizure. And so it's frustrating as a spokesperson. It's like, can we remember these are humans we're carrying? And if it was your mother, you'd be really upset if we just didn't care and let the train go on, you know?
That was BART Chief Communications Officer Alicia Trost standing in front of BART technology that straight up looked like it was borrowed from Batman and the Batcave. Hello, Heather Knight. Welcome to Total SF and happy Transit Month to you.
Happy Transit Month to you. I'm very excited about our month ahead.
Yeah, we're about to embark on a journey. Total Transit 2022 is set for September 28th. We'll have transit-themed episodes throughout the month. But I wanted to ask you, you've been a transit fan as long as I've known you, but I've never asked, where did that start? What was your public transit origin story?
Well, I rode public transit a lot ever since moving to San Francisco in 1999. First apartment was in the Inner Sunset, and I would take the N Judah every day to the newsroom. But back then, it was just, you know, the way I got to work. I did not fall in love with public transit until my younger son became a total Muni devotee, and you and I used that as inspiration to do Total Muni, and that whole experience totally formed my love of transit.
I think mine goes back actually closer to your son's age. I rode Samtrans to Candlestick Park for the Niner games. I took BART to the Oakland Coliseum when I was older to see like Day on the Green. And I just think like all of the most fun big events that we did, we took public transit there. We didn't tailgate. So I just remember really fond memories going to things on public transit. But I think the bigger influence was when I moved to Los Angeles and there was really no accessible public transit there. You couldn't bike. Nothing was walkable. And then my car started to feel like a prison. So now I just appreciate it so much more.
Me too. My little boy used to get so excited every time we would see a bus. And now I share that excitement, as you know, whenever I see especially a cable car or an F car, I kind of lose it. Love ferries, love Muni. I'll even say for this episode, I love BART. And that's how I get to work most days nowadays.
Well, first of all, F-Line, if it's Friday at about 5 o'clock and I don't see a bunch of F-Line cars, street cars coming on your feed, I'm like wondering if something's wrong. I'm going to do a health check.
Yes, I go to a dance class in Dolores Park most Friday evenings and then afterwards go with my friends to get wine at a parklet across the street and watch F cars.
Well, when we announced Total Transit 2022, BART was the first to jump on board with a very enthusiastic, funny, and snarky tweet. We wanted to interview Alicia and Sung Lee, who handle their social media, which landed us at the 19th Street BART station and me going in totally the wrong direction.
Yes, we learned that I need to be our navigator on Total Transit 2022 because you said you knew how to get from the 19th Street BART station to BART headquarters just a couple blocks away, but you did not. We were walking in circles and totally late. And it turns out for some reason your phone was tracking how to get to Happy Burrito.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. I want to blame BART for this, but I can't. Our BART train was totally on time. And I brought us to Happy Burrito. This does not bode well for Total Transit 2022, but we've got a few weeks to get it right. We sat down with Trost and Lee. We talked a lot about BART history and some of the strange things that happen on BART. We talked about social media. We're now both following the Northeast Ohio Sewer District. Highly recommend that follow on Twitter. And we plotted for Total Transit 2022, once again, September 28th. Heather, it's coming closer, but I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
It will be, and I'm glad that we're celebrating Transit Month throughout September with lots of fun episodes coming up.
I'm Peter Hartlob here with Heather Knight, currently craving a happy burrito from near the 19th Street BART, and this is Total SF.
Thank you very much.
Hello, Alicia Trost and Sung Lee. Welcome to Total SF and to your very own BART headquarters.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Transit Month and BART's 50th anniversary fall at the same time. Is BART a weary 50-year-old or a spry 50-year-old? How would you describe the system at the half-century mark?
Spry, I think. lots of challenges, but nonetheless, pretty exciting time to be around BART and public transit in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I think it's the pandemic's really presented an opportunity for us. And I'd say, you know, we're still very much going strong and we're telling our infrastructure story and we're still very much part of the culture. And I think people know that, which is also really nice. 50 years sort of earns you that rep that they now agree BART is absolutely part of the fabric, whereas maybe 30 years ago, 20 years ago, it would have been a harder pitch. Mm-hmm.
Curious about historical facts and BART. Do you have favorite ones? Are there things that you're kind of constantly discovering?
Anything related to the Operations Control Center, for sure. And I just love hearing stories from Mike Healy, former BART spokesperson. We talk probably twice a week, and he has the best stories. And so I'll even call him frustrated. I've called him crying before, needing advice. You know, how do we get through these struggles? Or can you explain to me something about, you know, a ghost train? Or maybe I was talking to an engineer and just couldn't understand it, so I'll call him up. So I think BART history is really important because it explains how we got here, as well as how do we tell those new stories of the innovation that is happening. And it's hard. It's hard to see there's innovation happening at BART, but there is.
Mike Healy, the longtime spokesman, who I believe was on the BART train with Richard Nixon right next to the nuclear football, if I got that story correct from him. He has so many stories.
100%. He didn't know at the time that the football was there, but it was many years later, someone reached out to him saying, hey, I was the person with the football. And Mike loves to tell that story.
Just another thing was a lot of the Nixon's people that were kind of in the train at the time was also like implicated in Watergate 2 years later. So, you know, like they probably had better days.
But speaking of history, something we're about to launch is our awesome historical section on our website. And we had boxes of every press release in 1972, every press release in 1973 and on. We scanned them and we're like, let's just put them all up on the website. So Sung gets the very fun job of uploading hundreds and hundreds of PDFs of basically historical press releases. And the press releases are hilarious. There was a lot of marketing press releases, which makes sense because you were just starting a transit system. Way more marketing types than we would ever consider. We'd get laughed at if we were putting out these types of pieces. A lot of stuff focusing around like the advertising they were doing and some of the very, very gimmicky things that they were doing, which, by the way, I'd like to say for the record, were very tailored to white men. So it's also upsetting for me to read some of this stuff. It's like, why weren't we reaching out to other types of communities? And of course we were. But so something to look forward to, that you'll be able to read every single press release. And I haven't taken the time to look at all of them. So who knows what all we're about to put on our website.
I sense a Peter Hartlob story right. Coming up.
Yeah, I can't wait to see them. We're all going to have access to them.
Well, in addition to being transparent and describing just the news of the day, BART's Twitter feed can sometimes be very funny and a little snarky. So where does that come from? And why is that important to add to the mix?
Yeah,
we love Alicia it, by
will.
The way.
Yeah, most likely if it's snarky, I'm the one that did it, which is funny because I'm the chief spokesperson. But I also feel like I am fully knowledgeable of what's going on. So if anyone's going to throw some snark out, I'm the one that's most qualified to do it. But I do it to raise issues. I do it on purpose. I want people to come in and either defend us or tell us where we're getting things wrong, and it works. And this whole concept of finger on the pulse is exactly what it is. At the executive level, I'm in a room with people, and I'm always two steps ahead of them for what's going on. They'll get a complaint, and I'm like, I'll tell you every single thing about what's going wrong, you know, and why we're saying that. Or they don't understand truly the nature of the problem. I'm like, oh, no, I get it, because I've seen 20 tweets about it in the last week. So it's really important for the agency to be that dialed in to social media. But the snark is really, it's one to defend our hard work, and it's also great for advocacy. You know, we need to find new revenue streams, especially post-pandemic. How are we going to continue to fund our service? Are we going to continue to put it on the backs of our writers when a lot of them are now working from home? And so social media plays a huge role in telling that financial story.
How are you going to fill your coffers, and what is ridership like now as we emerge hopefully from the pandemic?
We are at about 35%. That's when you look at 7 days of the week. We were at 410,000 writers before the pandemic. We had been a high of 440. You know, that was like major crush loads. But then a lot of people started to abandon BART because it was so crowded and because the infrastructure was failing. So then it got down to about 410. And so at what is 35%? What that is our weekdays are quite low, and then our weekends are doing really well, mm-hmm. and nights are doing really well, which shows me people want to ride transit. They just need somewhere to go. And we need to be able to go to that place and reliably and dependably, and you should be able to show up and then not have a canceled train. So those are some of the obstacles we're working on. But in terms of funding, you know, I try to take that optimistic look. We finally got our foot in the door with the federal government. We got a lot of emergency funds, and I'm not going to let that be a one-time thing. And it shouldn't be a one-time mm-hmm. thing. The fact that we are now getting funding from the federal government, which, by the way, should have been taking place for decades, we need to continue to show why that money works towards a more equitable system, serving those that have no other options, leading to a cleaner environment. And so that's our platform right now.
And how do you get around like some of these negative images of BART? You know, maybe one train has people injecting drugs or whatever it is, and that can easily go viral on Twitter. How do you combat, you know, the image that is sometimes out there of BART versus wanting to get riders back onto the trains?
Well, some of it is reality. Some of it's old pictures, by the way, that they like to use over and over and over again. There's a couple of very, very famous pictures. And
I've had BART sex come in my feed more than once, and I think it's the same couple.
So there's several images that are actually very old. And what's sad is one of them, or it's one specific individual, and he's in a lot of these photos that people know him. And that person actually went and got help. And it's not our place to say that. So it's frustrating when I see them try to bring up that picture again. It's like, you know what? I know who that person is, and they actually got help. So one, if you see those pictures, don't always assume that they're fresh and new. But two, we also just can't hide from it. And I can't, you know, we can't always, you know, dance around it. It's just not possible. And I don't want to do that.
We like your Twitter. I think that SF Bay Ferry and BART and public transit agencies, and maybe even public agencies, is a gold standard. I'm curious if you have you see corporate accounts that you think, God, they just do a great job. Like Wendy's is knocking it out of the park. Do you have Twitter mentors or ones that you like?
The parks is a great one.
Mm-hmm. Northeast Ohio sewer district.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I have to follow
Northeast,
them right now.
It represents the sewer district for the city of Cleveland.
Yeah.
And they are very off the cuff, and they really kind of lean into internet humor.
What are they called?
Northeast Ohio Sewer District.
They're about to get a lot of followers from our
they
podcast.
They already do. It's a thing. If you were a social media manager, you know.
Yeah.
But it's great because it's also government. But like at the end of the year, they literally thanked every single employee, like in the most epic tweet thread ever. So I do get ideas, you know, of like, oh, we got to come up with this thread that just never ends. Like things like that we'll see.
Well, I'm scrolling the sewer district you were talking about. Yeah. And this morning they tweeted, "While you were sleeping, we were managing infrastructure, and also the Cleveland Guardians won again. Good morning."
There you go.
Very nice.
Yeah. Big sports fans there, too. So.
Do you have a favorite Twitter day or Twitter exchange? And was it when someone brought that, like, Arabian guide horse on
It was like a miniature horse.
I keep a list that is on it.
Okay.
But I'm just going to shout out, because it has to be on your list, is Ohtani. 100%.
Yeah.
Tell them the story. It's so good.
So I'm a huge baseball fan. And I actually was going to go see Ohtani pitch in Oakland. But there was his bus got caught in Bay Bridge traffic, and apparently he took BART over to the Coliseum. But because of all the traffic mess, he was late and he missed the start. Like, he was going to pitch the next day. And I was heading to BART at the stadium. I was at Rockford Station platform, and I saw the tweets that were saying, oh, he's not going to pitch today. But it's because he took BART, and of course BART was late. And I was like, okay, that seems very – something's afoot here.
So he calls me. He calls me. I'm on the train. He's like, they're blaming us. I'm like, excuse me? I'm like, there's no problems. I'm like, you call the control center right now and you find out if there's any delays. So he calls the control center, which they're busy people, and they, you know, sung with the social media team. You know, Ohtani is blaming us.
Yeah, I said, were there any Coliseum-bound trains from X time to X time, around the time when he's supposed to get into the station and the stadium, that were delayed? And he's like, no, everything worked really well actually today. And I just quote retweeted an Angels beat reporter, I think for the LA Times or something, and just said, we experienced no delays. If anything, like, you know, like, don't blame it on us. And that was just like the perfect intersection of my personal interests, my personal circumstances, and also like my ability to reach out and get information at BART, to be able to share it with the public in a very humorous manner that went viral. So I think, you know, of the many, many, many tweets out there, I think that's my personal favorite.
Did we ever figure out what happened?
What was the real story?
Why was he late?
He got on the wrong train. Yeah. So then
that's not your fault.
That's what we were trying to explain.
Yeah. And for weeks, I was scouring on Twitter just to see if anybody took a photo of Ohtani on BART.
We put out a shout out to all BART employees. Does anyone have a photo of Ohtani on BART? No one had any. I couldn't believe it.
I think an A's fan probably sent him to Pittsburgh Bay Point.
I do think he got on the yellow line. He got on the wrong line.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't even close to being the right train.
That's not your fault.
It's not the first time that's happened too, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, the Twins were playing the Moneyball A's in 2003, and a bunch of the players and the coaches decided to just take BART into the Coliseum. But they realized they got to, like, Concord, and they were like, oh, this is not Coliseum. Like, we're, like, in another county. And that train party also included the starting pitcher for that playoff game. And so they like hustled and got back into Coliseum, and I think he made it just like with an hour left before a first pitch. We are trying to improve our wayfinding for these baseball players.
Why do they even need like charter jets? You know, just take public transit. It'd be so much cooler.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll be right back after this short break.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Well, speaking of cool, as you know, for Transit Month, we will be spending the day riding as many of the Bay Area's transit agencies as we can. Hashtag Total Transit 2022. You guys said you're down for this. Can we get a recorded official commitment right now?
Commitment for what?
Your support on that day, cheering us on with great enthusiasm and letting us know when we're getting on the wrong BART train and heading toward Pittsburgh Bay Point.
Absolutely. We plan to, one, follow you along, try to meet up with you. There may or may not be merch associated with your ride.
Oh, God.
So something to keep your eyes out for. But we're so excited that you're doing this. It's really important to show that regionally we are working together. And it's been a long time coming. I get it. I mean, it's like almost laughable to hear Bart say, oh, we're working with our partner HCs, but we really are. And in fact, the week before you're doing yours, I've got 10 general managers from transit agencies doing a multimodal trip and then ending with a public happy hour.
Actually. How many are they going to go on?
We're going to do Tempo to BART to Muni to the ferry and then end at Line 51 Brewery in Oakland where you can join us for a happy hour. So that's Friday, September 16th. We're going to be on the bus starting at around 3 p.m. and ending at Line 51 at around 5:15 p.m.
That's easy peasy.
It is easy peasy. But I've got all these general managers doing it. And you know what I can't wait for? I can't wait for them to exit at Powell Street on BART and have to go all the way up, exit the BART fare gates, then walk over, enter the Muni fare gates, and go all the way down. I want to see...
Can we come?
Yeah, sure. Everyone, no, it's going to be a public ride. And I can't wait to show them like how frustrating that is to go all the way up to then go all the way down when there could possibly be easier ways of, you know, tearing down these fences that mm-hmm. don't let you do that. Like, let's put some fare gates there. There is the new secret elevator, though. You can tag now at the platform elevator and take Muni. So we have to decide, like, should we have them do that? No, I want them to do the whole journey. Yeah. And then are the escalators going to be down? You know, all those types of things. So we'll have at least 10 general managers have already agreed to do it.
Is Jeffrey Tumlin going to do it?
Absolutely. Of course. He was one of the first. I think he actually was the first other GM to – Bob Powers, our GM, right away was like, let's do it. And I think Tumlin was the second.
Jeffrey Tumlin, I think, wakes up in the morning and just like goes, is it multimodal transit day?
Yeah.
No.
And he often listens to our podcast. So hi, Jeff.
Yes. And I keep telling the Muni team, why is his Twitter feed better than yours? Like, literally his Twitter feed is better. And so, you know, tap into some Tumlin, you know, Twitter passion and get your feed to look more like, you know, you're the bosses.
They seem scared, and I think you can't be scared. When we did Total Muni, like, we met with them ahead of time and they seemed a little wary, but then on the day of Total Muni, they didn't really engage because I think they thought we were going to make fun of them. And we did make fun of them a little bit, but coming out of it, Muni looked really good. I mean, stuff, we've completed it. It went on time. We had more positive to say. So, yeah, be like Tumlin.
Well, do you have any advice for us as we finalize our route and figure out logistics and try to psych ourselves up for this?
Bring water. Actually, there was a train rail fan who tried to ride every station at BART in record time. And I tagged along with him for the last leg from Bayfair to Dublin Station. And I believe he did set the record as of now. It's about 6 minutes, 6 hours, 22 minutes. I think it's easily, it could be easily broken because that was during the time when we were running 30-minute headways all day, every day, during the height of the pandemic.
So you mean every line end-to-end he did?
Yeah, mm-hmm. every line end-to-end.
Uh-huh. Including the Oakland airport?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So if you're listening and you want to go for a BART history, I think that's a very easy shot. But he was kind of like...
Dehydrated?
I think so. I think he was a little tired.
But you have to balance out the bathroom and water situation.
That's right.
Yes, that's true. And I think it just... enjoying the views.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, just like just kind of look out the window and just kind of doze off. You know, like don't think too much about like, oh, you know, exactly at what time would the next one be waiting for me? You know, if you get hung up on that, I think... it like kind of spirals and maybe even manifests like the mm-hmm. next train being missing or the next bus like coming a little too late. So just go for the ride. It's just
literally and figuratively.
Yes, absolutely.
What's your favorite view? Because I think I have them kind of ranked. Rockridge, I love that view looking down at San Francisco from the Rockridge platform. Lafayette's lovely. El Cerrito's lovely.
I know exactly where for me. It's between MacArthur and Ashby when we are on the MLK kind of what's it, viaduct.
Yeah.
You know, because that's kind of like the line I grew up on, really. Like I moved here in 2010 and I've ridden BART for every day almost, you know, for the first like 6 years. And just looking out, especially on the night sunset, like in the mm-hmm. afternoon, when you see the sun kind of setting and the the San Francisco skyline really kind of shows through, or maybe the fog is rolling in. And like the sky is like purple or red or really foggy white. It really kind of puts you at like a place of zen and like gratitude that like this is like a really fantastic place of the world to be living in, despite all the issues and all the nasty, ugly things that you may see around. Like there are like places and moments of just like incredible serendipity mm-hmm. that you really can't find anywhere else. And I've traveled, you know, somewhat, and you know, it's just been not be able to be emulated anywhere else.
Yeah. So yeah, of course, Rock Ridge and the skyline. But I also love leaving Daly City towards San Francisco, and you see all the houses and they're all colorful. It reminds me of like the Venetian court in Capitola, you know, the very iconic, but it's just smothered all over the mountains. And you forget, like you're in the middle of like this massive urban area, and it's just like this quaint, beautiful, all these pretty colored houses alongside the BART tracks. I also love, so I use North Concord, which is the most sleepiest station of all stations, truly. But there you see full Mount Diablo, and there are cows across the street, and there you can hear them mooing when you get off the train. And I just love it. It's very, you know, very sweet that I can go from this one section into the urban core in 30 minutes, you know, not having to drive and being stress free. And then I want to give you the advice for your total transit trip is to appreciate others on the bus and the train with you and maybe even get their stories and realize that you are riding with such diverse groups of people. You may be with someone who makes, you know, very, very high income that is committed to, you know, green mobility. And then you may be near someone who's going to their night shift, especially as you're riding like basically 24 hours. I'd love to hear the you know, just the jobs of the people that you're sitting next to.
Heather will get like 14 columns out of this. She talks to everybody.
One of my favorite stories on Total Muni was seeing this older couple riding one of the trains, and they were like, "It's you. We read about this in the Chronicle, and we were riding just hoping to see you." And I took a picture and tweeted it, and then they used that picture as their Christmas card picture, and they sent me a Christmas card.
Wow. That was nice.
So we wanted to do some prizes for Total Transit, and I put a shout out on Twitter. What would be the ultimate prize? And one of my ideas, but people didn't seem to like it, was that we would do your Christmas card photo shoot at a BART maintenance facility and that we would even use our photographer.
I love that.
And people didn't see, I'm like, I think that's brilliant and awesome and I would want that. But where we ended is you'll actually get to ride in a train cab. And that was the number one request. And then you'll get a guaranteed holiday BART Christmas sweater, which sold out in like 40 minutes.
I need to get one next time.
That's another prize. And then just like a prize pack. But so
you can ride in the train cab?
Well, we are offering it. There are rules, and I've even said there's going to be rules, and there's a lot of rules about what you can film and what you can't film. And but we're going to make it happen. I called the head of transportation, saying we're really trying to lean in on this, and this was literally the number one request. I even have train operators who are on Twitter saying, "I'll be the operator. I want to do this," and he says, "I support you. I love that we're trying these new things." Yeah. So we're fully leaning in to Transit Month and Total Transit. You know, offering prizes and doing our own events.
That's amazing.
And we're excited for you.
Well, one of our goals is to see how well the 27 transit agencies work together. Do they have a good relationship? Are you contacting VTA and Muni? And sounds like you're going on a all riding transit together coming up. But what is that relationship like?
Yeah. So one, the general managers meet weekly Monday morning at 9 a.m. And that started during the pandemic. So that's there are bright spots of the pandemic that we realize that we need to be more coordinated than ever to survive and to work together and make things as easy as possible. So they are meeting and they're tackling tough issues and they're talking about fare coordination and scheduling. And then on the staff level, I meet once a week with all of the different like PR staff of the transit agency. So we do know each other really well and we are information sharing. And then beyond that, we're always just, you know, sending each other messages. We're trying to BART Caltrain. We're really trying to fix Millbrae, as I say. And I just met up with, you know, my counterpart last week at Millbrae. We walked the station and I was like, I could give you this wall. We could put this sign up so it makes it more easier to use here. And you realize how to get from one platform to the next. And so we are trying very hard to make it easier.
Well, how is BART going to celebrate its 50th anniversary? Any big plans?
I mean, on the social media end, a lot of videos, a lot of photos, a lot of good stories. You know, but in person, it really is the 50th anniversary celebration on September 10th at Lake Merritt Station Plaza. That we're going to have food, games, time capsule, right? Like the whole shebang. I know a lot of staff have been preparing very hard for the celebration. And yeah, it should be a blast. Like, I think that is kind of the big culmination for the celebration of 50 years of service for BART.
There'll be the A car, which is the iconic slanted nose of the cab. Just the front part of that is going to be out there for a photo booth. So that'll be fun. Oh. We're going to have a special historical film, you know, viewing booth that you can watch hours of awesome historical BART films. There'll be a really fun, you know, little sticker passport where you need to go and visit every booth. There's booths where you can actually learn about BART projects, BART transit-oriented development, BART ambassador program. So some educational stuff. But I also got BARTman to confirm he will be there and handing out tattoos. So that will be fun. But it'll be a really fun event, and it's free, and it's outdoors, so safe.
BARTman is the wrestler,
that's
yes. correct?
Yeah, yeah, sorry, I shouldn't Luchero. Assume you all know, but it's like, BARTman.
I should know this. Who yeah. is this?
With Hood Slam, it's yeah. a wrestler. We don't pay him, and he has a protected identity. I've met him several times, but I don't really know his first name or last name, but it's BARTman.
It's better that way. Yeah, BARTman yeah. is awesome. He's masked, so.
Yeah. yeah. And so. The merch.
And the merch, yes. And
you have good merch.
You'll be able to own a number plate from a legacy car. So, you know, those blue plates that are out, and there's a 4-digit or 3-digit. So all of those cars are being recycled right now. And I beg them, don't throw away the number. And I want the number. And so they stack them up for me, and we're putting them up on railgoods.com, and you'll be able to like put it in your garden or whatever you want to do with it.
It's just like Railgoods is like such a great way to remind ourselves and of people that like BART is like really appreciated and really loved by a lot of people, because we have had several merchandise runs that have just sold out within 40 minutes, an hour, 20 minutes. It's merch. So people are like, oh, you know, why is a transit agency even getting involved mm-hmm. in the business of selling merch? But we're like, well, we wouldn't be if it wasn't selling out all the time.
Yeah, I've found that, like, I complain about BART. A lot of people I know complain about BART. If I wear a BART hat to, like, Disneyland or an Oregon, when people recognize it, and I do this actually fairly often, people are like, BART! Suddenly they love BART when they're like, you know, way far away from BART. It's a good indicator of where you're from.
Yeah.
Well, you've survived our serious questions, and now it's time for the lightning round. Oh. Favorite place in the Bay Area to get a burrito?
Oh, gosh.
Romero and Sons in Alameda.
Honestly, Happy Burrito is one of my favorite, because it is like a place where...
Well, Peter knows how to get there.
Yeah, it's like for $6.50, you get a really nice burrito, and like there's always like a bit of a line if you go around like lunchtime. And like that's the place I take people. Like if I know you well enough and you're kind of the person that might like a pretty messy burrito for lunch, like, yeah, we could walk on over and get a happy burrito and make you happy.
Happy burrito. Good one.
What is your favorite BART station? This is not a lightning round, you guys.
Yeah, Rockbridge. MacArthur, actually, because it's got four platforms. It's kind of like really the underrated heart of the whole system. Like if MacArthur is like, if there's something at MacArthur that goes wrong, like we're really screwed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's got beautiful views. It's like in the heart of like a very vibrant part of Oakland. MacArthur for me.
Okay.
Glen Park.
Yay.
That's yours, Heather.
Yes.
I like the Coliseum, because when you get off during a game, you can smell the bacon wrap hot dogs. Mm-hmm. You can hear the drums. Everybody's in a good mood. So,
yeah.
Sorry, I'm not supposed to answer these, but I'm answering Coliseum. Thank you, Heather. go back.
Do you have a least favorite BART station?
I think Orinda for me, because I have used Orinda a lot of the times, and it's just so sleepy and kind of, I don't know.
Civic Center.
Yeah. I can understand that. Biggest celebrity you've ever seen on BART?
Personally or via Twitter?
Either way.
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, that's like the great photo.
Too. Yeah, yeah, Beast Mode riding Bart after a Raiders game, after playing for the Raiders, a match. Like, he is such a jewel of the Bay Area and everything that's right about the Bay Area.
You've seen Stefan?
Well, Steph has written Bart. Hmm. I know Steve Kerr just writes Bart Kevin Durant, to get around.
There's lots of photos of Kevin Durant. Kevin,
you have a photo of Kevin Durant riding Bart. He looks so cool because he's leaning on the strap bar. Uh-huh. And he just looks like he's...
Oh, yeah. He doesn't have to reach up for it.
No, not at all. And he just looks like the coolest guy.
Nice.
That photo.
I like that Rafael Casal and David Diggs, who made Blind Spotting together, made a video on Bart before they were famous. And you can find it if you dig.
If you find a photo of Shohei Ohtani on Bart, please send it over to SF Bart. Tag us on Twitter, please, please.
You might get the holiday sweater.
Yeah.
Weirdest thing you've ever seen on Bart?
I have moved on Bart. Like, I've moved like houses on Bart, like furniture and stuff like that. I brought a little dolly. And like, I was one of those people that have like moved, like not like a couch, but like small furniture via Bart. So impressive. When people are like, oh my gosh, can you believe like these people are moving couches or a fridge on Bart? I'm like, no, because I've done it. It's not that hard.
And that's allowed? I mean, if you have a 12 foot Christmas tree allowed. Or if you have a refrigerator, that's okay on Bart.
You can bring anything on Bart?
There is no rule. If you can fit it. And there, and it's not like a motorized scooter.
Yeah.
There's a couple. There's only a
as
very,
long as there's
very
not like a battery. That, you know.
Yeah. I would say someone plugged in their George Foreman grill and made burgers.
Wow.
I saw the picture. It's pretty wild.
Oh, if you're talking pictures, boy. it's just too many lists. Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
Have you ever fallen asleep on Bart and woken up at the end of the line?
Absolutely not. That's really dangerous. And I really, really don't want people falling asleep on BART. And it just always, my number one tip is just go sit in the first car. If you are a woman traveling by yourself, which I often am, I just always sit in the first car. And it's just a great place to be because the train operator's there.
That's a good tip.
I have. I've ridden all the way to Pittsburgh Great Point. And I woke up and I was like, where am I? A little ashamed. I was supposed to transfer at 19th, and I just totally missed it.
Last question. What is something you always make sure to squeeze into your busy day?
Well, I work out every day, so it's my time, and it just is a reset.
Yeah.
I make coffee. Like nice coffee. I mean, my girlfriend and I kind of, she does a lot of the coffee making now, but like before, I would just like kind of make it like a ritual almost, like in the morning, like trying to zen out. I would say that.
Cool. Well, it's so fun to talk to you, and we look forward to talking more before Total Transit 2022.
And congratulations on your 50th. One more time, September 10th at Lake Merritt is the big party.
Yes, from correct? 11 to 4.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Cool.
Thank you for listening to the San Francisco Chronicle. Our music today is from The Sunset Shipwrecks, Castro organ player David Hegarty, and cable car bell ringing from 8-time champion Byron Cobb. Support Total SF in the newsroom that creates it by investing in a digital Chronicle edition. It's less expensive than you think at sfchronicle.com/pod.
Loved it. I miss that so much.